This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Payne and Pendergast with you on a Football Friday. Let's take a listen here to the scouting report from Doug Peterson and then Zay Jones. Zay Jones, a wide receiver for the Jags. First, here is Doug Peterson's scouting report on the Houston Texans.
You know, Houston, when you look at Houston too, I mean, this team, you know, their win-loss record may not be what they think it should be or where it should be, but this is a good football team. They're really aggressive defensively. They're young. They fly around. They've got some top draft picks over there. They went out and got some quality free agents. And, you know, it's a group that, you know, you better come ready to play. And offensively, might be young in some spots, quarterback being one of them, you know, and just being able to handle that.
All right, so that was Doug Peterson. Seth, when he talks about the defense in the first portion of that cut, the only part of the defense that applies to what he's describing there is the secondary, where he says, you know, they went out and got some, drafted some young guys who fly around. They went and made some good free agent signings. I'm thinking, okay, Steven Nelson was a good free agency signing. That was a good one.
Well, yeah, I thought, well, Jerry Hughes, I think, he said he got some
Hughes has been good, yes, yeah. Sorry, yes, you're right. Hughes
I think
has been
Steven
solid.
Steven Nelson was, he's not a great player or anything, but at the very least, I think they did solidify their secondary somewhat compared to what it was last year.
Yeah.
You know, once Roby, you know, they got rid of Roby at the beginning of last season, and they had zero good cornerbacks left, where at least now I feel like they've got two viable cornerbacks.
Yeah. When you're playing a team that's 0-3-1, you got to be careful not to give them any bulletin board fodder. I would say that as a player. You can't give them anything that's going to put a chip on their shoulder. You know, you want to keep them in their place. I think Zay Jones, a wide receiver for the Jags, might have gone a little overboard on his, you know, 1 minute and change scouting report on the Houston Texans. I think he said some accurate things, which we will treat with a ding. I think he said some things that he might be a little off on, Seth.
So you're saying he went overboard in terms of just praise?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Sorry. Yeah. He sprinkled a lot of sugar on the Texans, I think. Yeah. He didn't go overboard trying to put a chip on their shoulder. Here's Zay Jones, wide receiver for the Jags, on what he's seen out of the Houston Texans so far.
This is a high effort, high speed, and what's the word I want to use to describe it? They're like, I don't want to just say fly around, like a tenacious type group. I think they play collectively well together. When you turn on the tape, there's not a whole lot of guys that are lackadaisical or taking plays off. I've had experience of playing with Jerry Hughes in Buffalo. I've always thought very highly of him. I thought he's a phenomenal player. Jerry's had a motor, and so I know if that's a person they bring in who's a leader for them, I'm sure he, as well as Lovie, are instilling that in their D-line. You know, I know Christian Kirksey, linebacker, I think he's a great player, works very hard. Back end a little bit young, but those guys are still ballers as well. They're good players. So I don't really feel like their record displays the type of talent that they have. Sometimes teams get bad shakes and, you know, games didn't fall their way. But I don't think this is a group that we can take very lightly at all. I feel as though they have the weapons to just do something special.
So he was, I would say, if we did a count then there on dings and buzzes, I would say we were probably like 8 to 10 dings. Like, he said a lot of accurate things. I think his praise of Jerry Hughes, Seth, was accurate. I think praising the tenaciousness, the tenacity, the want to of the team. I think they do give effort. I just don't think they've got a ton of good football players. There were a few things special at the end. I don't know that they've got it, unless you consider drafting Bryce Young or C.J. Stroud to be special, which that might be accurate then.
He was, by the way, too. Oh, I should have grabbed it. Lovey. For one, Lovey, when he was talking about Justin Herbert last week, he said something along the lines of, this was in the show with Vandermeer and Harris.
Yeah.
He said something along the lines of, you could see how Herbert's going to be an all-time great. Like, he went pretty hard on immediately saying, like, wow, he's going to be an all-time great. And then he said something about Trevor Lawrence, almost similar, just, you know, talking about just how phenomenal he is. So, I think praise from Lovey we should keep tabs on. Praise from Lovey regarding upcoming quarterbacks,
yeah,
or any quarterback at all, might be way, way, way over the top. So, but we should also forward that praise to opposing teams' media as much as possible.
Yes.
So they can, it'll be a headline, you know, like, oh, wow, Lovey said that Trevor Lawrence is basically going to make Joe Montana look like a punk.
You know what Lovey does that I respect is he actually brings up where guys were drafted. Like, he doesn't ignore it. He's like, Trevor Lawrence, number one overall pick. You know, that's what you get out of a number one overall pick. Justin Herbert, sixth overall pick. You know, like, he's not afraid to cite where guys were drafted.
When Zay there was trying to come up with a synonym for fly around, I don't think tenacious was the right one. I was the one that popped into my head that I hoped he would go for was sprightly. He just said, he said, they're a zippy bunch. I wanted him to go with.
That would be awesome.
What's the word I'm looking for? Peppy. They're peppy.
Sprightly. Yeah,
it's a peppy crew over there.
Oh, God.
You know?
Yes.
I was like, there's one thing I think about the Texans defense.
Yeah.
You know, they fly around a lot. They're jaunty.
Yeah.
They're jaunty. Yes.
A lot of time when people are describing all-time great defenses, the Ravens of the early 2000s, the Steel Curtain back in the day, the Bears in 1985, the 4-6 defense, oftentimes they use the word zippy to describe them.
So that's a jaunty crew.
Jaunty.
A lot of times on the old NFL films.
Dude, like, I didn't even know that was a word. Jaunty.
The autumn wind has a name. Its name is Jaunty. Dude,
that's a pretty good John Facenda right there. All right, let's do it. Five reasons I hate you. This is going to get more and more important for you guys as the season goes on. We got to amp up the appropriate amount of vitriol for our opponent. Five Reasons I Hate You, Jacksonville Jaguars edition, is next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.
It's a Miller Lite Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Here's Payne and Pendergast.
All right, Payne and Pendergast with you on a Football Friday. Good to be with you. All right, let's do this. We work up the appropriate amount of vitriol for our opponents in a segment every Friday at this time called Five Reasons I Hate You. It's Five Reasons I Hate You. Seth, you ready for Five Reasons I Hate You?
I'm ready for Five Reasons I Hate You. Is this more City of Jacksonville or Jaguars the team?
It can always be a little bit of everything. It's really
this particular one, is it evenly blended?
It is. There is by my count, there are a couple of football related ones. Yeah. There's an owner-related one and a couple that have to do somewhat with geography, but no direct insults at the city of Jacksonville.
I was getting nervous because, you know, I spent a good amount of time.
You got history there. No. Yeah. And you're, and obviously, as you have, feel free to disagree with me on any of these, but these are just, these are five reasons I'm conjuring up to hate the Jacksonville Jaguars.
No, I'm going to be a good child of divorced parent and know when to just shut my mouth and be like, okay, yeah, I know you're talking crap about mom right now, Dad, and I should defend her, but, you know, I know it's good for me. I'll just be quiet.
For the record, I've been to Jacksonville once, and I had a blast there. So I
wait, is that some metaphor about my mom? You son of a bitch.
What the hell?
Had a good time with my mom, did you?
I did. She's a cruel temptress, that Jacksonville. All right, let's get to it here. Five reasons I hate you. The Texans are in Jacksonville. Some of the worst memories as a Houston Texan fan have taken place in Jacksonville.
Oh, God.
Including one of the worst endings to a game for Texan fans that they could think of. Now, the 2010 season, if we go back in the Wayback Machine, that wound up being a bad season. A lot of expectations that the Texans would finally make the postseason that year with Gary Kubiak as the head coach, but the defense was awful. But at this point in the season when this game was taking place, they were 4-4. You know, they were 4-4, so they were still kind of in the mix. They would finish 6-10, and this was a Week 10 game between the Jags and the Texans where the Jags are David Garrard is throwing a Hail Mary into the end zone. All you got to do is bat it down, and instead Glover Quinn bats it into Mike Thomas's hands.
One wide out right, Garrard on the gun. Gets the snap, steps up. Garrard's going to have time to launch it deep. Sims Walker down there and knocked into the hands of the receiver. Touchdown, Jacksonville wins. Oh, my goodness. Thomas with the catch in the end zone. Knocked down into the hands of Thomas. And the Jaguars win on the final play of the game.
All right, Mark Vandermeer on the call. That was tough, man. Poor Glover Quinn. Now, Glover would bounce back to have a hell of a career. As we know, he was a Pro Bowler in Detroit, and he was really good once the Texans moved him to safety here. But that was a bad memory, Seth. I would say the Chris Brown option pass interception in 2009 was in Jacksonville.
Oh, that yeah. Was that 2009?
2009, yes.
That seems almost too recent somehow. Yeah. Okay.
2009. The Thursday night game that ended Gary Kubiak's Texans career was in Jacksonville. That was the night DJ Swearinger went insane with unsportsmanlike conduct penalties.
And let's remember, too, that was in a year where Gary Kubiak had suffered a stroke.
Yeah. On the field.
On the field. Yeah. And I remember various people texting me and DMing me, like, from the media, from other cities, saying, like, well, they would never fire Kubiak a year he had a stroke, right? And I was like, you got to understand what it's like here, man. It's things are kind of messed up. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So they did. Mostly because, what, DJ Swearinger just DJ Swearinger lost, basically lost all control.
Yeah. Two unsportsmanlike conduct. And the team was bad. I mean, it was a confluence of things. But
wasn't that when Bearded Schaub came in and almost played?
He was doing that thing. No, he came in that game. Keenum started that game, and he brought Schaub in. And that was a theme, too. Like, Gary Kubiak could not decide on a quarterback. So that's number five. Number four, they're basically London's team, the Jaguars. Like, where did the interest in this team go sideways? Like, at some Seth, I know you were on a Jacksonville team early on in your career that was a good football team. You went to an AFC title game. They went to a couple. They went to one while you were there in 1999. Yeah. My hypothesis on why Jacksonville is all of a sudden half Jacksonville, half London's team is because they were spoiled by the early success of the Seth Payne era in the late 90s.
Honestly, I'm always kind of confused as to why people think Jacksonville has like these extreme attendance issues compared to other places. They're actually, you know, they are not, let's see, 2018 they were 17th in attendance, 2019 they were 22nd in attendance, and they're one of the NFL's smallest markets. It's a small market, and I think the owner took advantage of an opportunity where he owns an English soccer team, but also figured, okay, look, I can grab a portion of an entire continent's NFL fan base here by planting our flag in London. So I don't think it's as much about Jacksonville being such a miserable place for fan attendance or interest or anything as much as it was just a little bit of that, but it was mostly just the owner taking advantage of that opportunity.
Second hypothesis then.
Okay.
They have been one of those stadiums that when they've had attendance issues, they tarp the upper deck.
Right. The problem is they're a small market team with a gigantic stadium.
Yeah.
The old Gator Bowl, which is what that is. Is there another stadium as old as that other than like Soldier Field and some of the historic ones?
Not that I know of.
It's an old stadium. It's massive in that it's not steep. It's like wide. So it looks even emptier when it's empty. So, yes, I think the perception plus the fact that it's in the AFC South and it's Jacksonville.
Yep.
They just don't get paid. People always assume that they're the worst in attendance all the time. And they're not. I mean, they're not great in attendance, but they're not by any stretch of the imagination, like the very worst every year or anything.
Okay, well, they're still London's team, and I stick by that, and that makes them number four. Number three, I hate the Duval chant. You're chanting the name of your county. Hey, let's chant Harris, Harris, Duval. I hate the Duval. Now, I hate the Duval chant, but they do get bonus points, kind of, for chanting this at Deshaun Watson at a preseason game this year. I mean, I don't. You sick bleep. You sick bleep. You sick bleep.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't approve of the cursing, but I approve of any public verbal haranguing of Deshaun Watson. So I don't like the Duval chant. They slightly made up for it, but I still hate the Duval chant. That's number three for me.
The Duval chant. The one good thing about the Duval chant was it was a TV show that Ted Danson was in.
Becker?
No, The Good Place. It was The Good Place.
Oh, okay.
There's a character on The Good Place, which is a funny show about basically heaven and hell. But there's a character in there, like a really stupid young kid who just like chants Duval at all the wrong moments.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay, that's kind of funny.
Yeah.
But I don't like it.
Jags fan.
Yeah, but I don't like it. But for now, for our purposes, this is a reason why I hate the Jacksonville Jaguars. Number two, we can't just let the Urban Meyer thing die after a 13-game stint as a head coach. This is a team that hired Urban Meyer to be its head coach. And was I somebody advocating for the Texans to hire Urban Meyer when they hired David Culley? Sure. But they didn't do it. And Urban Meyer wound up being... Partially I'm mad because he makes me look stupid because I wanted Urban Meyer. But let's remind people, he skipped a team playing home to bump and grind at his steakhouse in Ohio. During a week four weekend after a Thursday night game, he tried to make Tim Tebow a tight end at age 33.
That's right. I forgot about that.
Yes. He kicked his kicker before a game, like walked up and kicked the guy, called his assistants losers. The assistants that he hired losers. They're all losers.
I'll tell you what. I feel bad about the way people feel about kickers, like myself included, because honestly, we knew all this stuff about Urban Meyer. It was bad stuff about Urban Meyer. It was just a mess there.
Yeah.
He'd totally been exposed as a fraud and a jerk and all these things. And yet, when the kicker came out with the story about Urban Meyer kicking him, I was like, I'm going to have to see the film on this.
Same.
I don't.
Same.
I'm not so sure I believe your story.
Come on. Toughen up. He kicked you. Big deal. Oh, that's funny.
What a jerk.
Now, it doesn't diminish the fact that Urban Meyer was the worst head coach in the history of the NFL.
I would say, you know what the worst thing about the worst kind of Tebow-related thing having to do with Jacksonville? Because, listen, I played in Jacksonville when, you know, Danny Werfel was a college quarterback, and, like, half the people there were convinced that all you had to do to win the next 18 Super Bowls was to draft Danny Werfel. Right. Don't you know, you dumbasses? That's what they would say. I give Jacksonville credit for the fan base totally not buying into it, because Tim Tebow is from Jacksonville. I totally gave them credit for not buying into any of the most recent hype about bringing Tebow here. Remember they tried to have a protest at the stadium, and like seven people showed up. It was pathetic, but it was a good display by the city of Jacksonville and Jaguars fans to not buy into it.
Yes, I agree with that. All right, last one here real quick. I'm just not a fan of the handlebar mustache, Shad Khan. I'm not. Raleigh Fingers was able to pull it off, and nobody since then has been able to. So, Shad Khan, you either got to go John McClane style with a bushy mustache, or you got to go barefaced. Sorry. Those are the rules. Raleigh Fingers retired the handlebar mustache for me.
I think Shad Khan, I think you got to hand it to Shad Khan because I think he's figured out a way to corrupt even Jerry Jones. I don't know if Jerry Jones can hang with Shad Khan. I know they've partied together a couple times, and Shad Khan just seems like he lets things come to him, whereas Jerry is kind of the hyper little dog that's leg humping everything and anything. Whereas I feel like Jerry might get around Shad Khan and feel like he has to try to one up him or something.
Mm.
So ultimately, that might be how the NFL finally rids itself of Jerry Jones by him, you know, drowning in a vat of vodka or something.
With Shad Khan at the table.
Yeah.
All right. Well, if that happens, I'll reevaluate my take here. But for now, no handlebar mustache, bro.
You bought that team with cash, Sean.
I know. I'm afraid.
Cash.
Don't get me wrong. I'm afraid. I hated to go after the Khan family because his son Tony Khan owns AEW.
Which I'm
a big fan of.
Did you know when? Go ahead.
No. Go ahead.
The other day, your wrestling people. My God, do they have to settle the hell down?
Why? What happened? What'd they do?
I said something along the lines of, like, I don't think I'd be a good wrestler because at some point, like, I would end up, like, you know, like, taking something too personal or just not being able to, you know, which I didn't mean, like, so that's all I said. I got so much pushback from one of our listeners. Like, yeah, every guy I've heard say that gets his ass kicked when he comes in and tries to wrestle. And I'm like, I didn't say I was going to beat anybody up over it or anything. I said I would probably get too sensitive. But I think he thought I was – he assumed what I was saying was like, yeah, and then I'd kick Brock Lesnar's ass.
Right.
Like, no, it wasn't any – there was no part of me saying that. And he wouldn't stop with it. It was crazy, Sean.
No, Seth, those are not
your
my people. No, those are not my people. Those are not my people.
I'm very sensitive to that. Like, I try to – like, I'm very impressed by wrestlers. It is a brutal, brutally – physical and hard job they do, professional wrestlers.
You went to AEW with me. There's about seven of us that went, and you had the best time of anybody.
I love that part of it.
If people were watching, if they just watched the seven of us on the front row, they would have asked, who's the biggest wrestling fan out of all those people? And they would have picked you.
Yeah, no, and like even when I say like I would get too sensitive about something, I know it because when I go to wrestling, I'm like I am such a sucker for, they're so good at like these huge expressions they use to where like, oh, I'm going to look evil and menacing. And I'm sitting there and I see it. And I'm like, that guy is evil and menacing.
Yep.
And I hate him.
Exactly.
So I feel like I would almost be a little too much of a method actor.
Mm-hmm.
And I would start believing that one of them had abducted my fiance.
You'd be into it. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. I'm not worried that I'm going to beat the guy up. I'm worried that I'm going to shoot him with a gun.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Like it's real life. Exactly. All right. Lisa Ann, fantasy football expert. Send them in, 713-572-4610. That's the Trailer Wheel and Frame text page.
Trailer Wheel and Frame.
There you go. Send it into the Trailer Wheel and Frame text page, 713-572-4610. All right, Lisa Ann, fantasy football expert, get your questions ready. That is next.
It's a Miller Lite Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, here's Payne and Pendergast.
All right, Payne and Pendergast, time for some fantasy football talk. Lisa Ann is our fantasy football expert. You can get her on Twitter at TheRealLisaAnn and text in. Wow, we're getting a bunch of texts from people who've got questions on players to start, players to sit. 713-572-4610, the Trailer Wheel and Frame text page. Lisa, welcome in. It's always good to talk to you. Seth wanted to apologize because he was going on a rant about professional wrestling for about three extra minutes, so that's why we're late getting in with you today. He wanted to say he was sorry, I think.
It is completely fine. I've been listening for the past half an hour. A couple of notes. Okay. I did try to memorize the Duval chant. I thought it would be a great entrance into the show. Didn't get it down. And Seth, you know, if I could have a drink at this early in the morning after staying up late last night and finishing that entire game, which is something I cannot believe I did, I would have a drink every single time you admitted that you're sensitive. Is this something that we need to talk about?
Oh, I guess it's – I don't do that often, but I guess it's before – when you've listened before the show a few times, I've admitted that I'm sensitive. I'm not as sensitive as I used to be. That's life did that to me. Now I'm mostly hateful and angry.
Oh, you know what? Twitter and social media will desensitize anyone, and that's exactly what happened. But that game last night was something that I wanted to turn off, and I couldn't. I couldn't look away. And you know how late these games go on the East Coast?
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, man, this thing, it won't stop. I could record it. Then it's like, oh, it's on Amazon Prime. How does that work? Do we get to record it, go back on the DVR in the morning? Well, that's complicated. And I just sat there completely awestruck by the fact that that was a standalone game. And we all were stuck watching.
Oh, and well, and Lisa, there's like fantasy tragedies galore interwoven into that game with Jonathan Taylor out. Matt Ryan stinks. So basically anybody that you have from the Colts stinks. Similar with Russell Wilson and the Broncos. He stinks. Like it was like a fantasy graveyard last night. It was crazy.
How about me? I gave up on Melvin Gordon a week too early.
Yeah.
Had no idea he was going to be the lead back, but I just couldn't take the fumbles anymore. Let him go. I think the best part of the game was that shot that you saw all over the internet where Melvin Gordon is just staring at Russell Wilson. And then,
yes.
You know, you get the little tweets out there that say, caption this. And then I'm bored watching the game and I'm reading the threads and I'm like, this is fantastic.
Yeah,
so let's get to the fantasy questions. And I know the first one that's most important. Yeah. You reached out to me yesterday, Sean, asking me about Amari Cooper. So, you know, this is going to be in Cleveland. Take it on the Chargers. And then your other option would have been Alan Lazard in London taking on the Giants. Both teams 3-1. Normally, I would say I want to go with Alan Lazard here.
Yeah.
But the Giants are really, really playing much better than we expected. They're playing above what anyone expected. And I think Alan Lazard is going to be a big target of that defense. I don't love the London games. I know what an adjustment it is for players. They didn't let Green Bay go in as early as they wanted to. You know, the away team, the home team, which is Green Bay this week, gets to go in a day earlier, but that's it. They really wanted to go in on Tuesday. So I don't love the turf. Every player complains about it. I'm going to go with the safe bet, and I'm going to go with Amari Cooper, who, believe it or not, already has 228 yards and 2 touchdowns on the season.
Yeah, he's been decent. Okay, that's good, because that was for a friend of mine who needed that advice. And so I'm going into business for myself here, Lisa, and getting early advice. So Amari Cooper, Dan, if you're listening, take that.
Lisa, you had mentioned giving up on Melvin Gordon. What about the quarterbacks here? It feels like there's an extra large number of quarterbacks that you should give up on this early in the season. Who are the definites? Like, okay, we thought this guy might be something, but I'm giving up on him.
Well, we're definitely giving up on both quarterbacks that played last night. I forget all about Russell Wilson. I think he's eaten way too many Subway sandwiches. Those commercials are awful. And, you know, Matt Ryan's been so great for the NFL, so it's almost hard to speak negatively of him, right? It's so hard, but this is not a good fit. Watching him get thrown around last night, the line not protecting him, if I would have seen one more sack, I would have had a nightmare for Matt Ryan. So I think we give up on both of those. You know, and when you're looking around, you have to really think about the fact that we start bye weeks next week. So though you might want to give up on players, now's the time to really be cautious, be looking ahead and seeing where you're going to struggle the most on bye weeks, and maybe not give up so quickly. Quarterback, you're not really going to play. This is the time to stash your second quarterback on the bench. Make sure you have one. You know, Teddy Bridgewater, you got to roll him out. Tua, we don't know when he's coming back. But you're going to have to make these decisions to prepare yourself for Bye-mageddon.
Yeah, Bye-mageddon is coming for sure. Lisa Ann, our fantasy football expert, joining us. So, Lisa, this past week was just brutal for owners of certain running backs. Jonathan Taylor missed the game yesterday. Javonte Williams out for the year. Cordarrelle Patterson going out for Atlanta. Who are some of the pickups that teams need to be looking at because of those injuries? Or if owners already picked up backups to those, who are ones that look like they could be RB1s here, or at least reasonable starters amongst the backups for those guys?
I think you're going to look at every healthy back right now, right? I think so many players gave up on Tony Pollard, drafted him, played him week one, week two, put him back out on the waiver wire. The best thing for you to do right now is go onto your waiver wire and see the top five running backs that still have a job. And look at those players as, hey, they're not going to give you maybe over 10 fantasy points, but if you can get between 6 and 8 points during your bye weeks, and if you can be prepared for another running back transition, you know, CEH is doing very well, but you want to have his backup. So you have to start to look ahead and think about all the running backs that we've already lost and how many more we could be seeing a difference in. Now, no one expected Saquon Barkley to play so well. At the same time, no one expected much out of Zeke, but they're still playing him. So you're going to have to start to make some decisions, and you're going to have to accept mediocre scores for probably about the next 4 weeks until these running backs either come back. I mean, Patterson has been such a flashy player, and I think a lot of people didn't trust him. We thought it was fluky what happened last year, but those who drafted him were thrilled through week four. But now you got to forget about that, and you got to move forward.
Yep, Lisa Ann, our fantasy expert, joining us here on Sports Radio 610. All right, let's get into some of these. Lisa, we got a ton of texts coming in. This is how you can tell that there's a lot of fantasy issues going on because of injuries right now, and B, like you said, bye weeks are coming up pretty soon. Keenan Allen, the Chargers, hasn't played yet this year, to my knowledge, because of the hamstring, or Christian Kirk, who's going against the Texans, who's been a pleasant surprise for the Jags at flex. Allen or Kirk at flex
I'm going to go Kirk unless you hear any news that Keenan Allen is coming back 100%. He still has the questionable tag. I don't love the defense that he's going to be facing. Myles Garrett is going to be back this week for Cleveland from that accident. And we know Cleveland's defense has been really good. So I, out of comfort, would go with Christian Kirk. But if you feel comfortable and Keenan Allen gets that 100% green light, you might want to go for it. But I'm not thrilled. Also, Justin Herbert's been a little bit more limited as well.
Damien,
I mean, look, Austin Eckler was the whole game last week.
Yeah, no doubt. No, we were there. We saw it for sure.
Whole game.
Yeah. Damian Harris, the Patriots are hosting the Lions this week, or Jeff Wilson Jr., who's been making some plays for the Niners. They're at the Panthers.
Yeah, and you know, I don't fear the Panthers' defense. In order that I like them, it would be Jeff Wilson and Damian Harris. But what we saw last week, and it's not really reflective in the record for New England, right? New England's sitting there at 1-3, but they are taking on Detroit this week, who's also 1-3. We saw that defense really pick up. I mean, to see the challenges presented to Aaron Rodgers from a third-string quarterback were mind-blowing, but it's that defense that the Patriots have that's picking up the momentum.
All right, this is another one that involves a Texan. Garrett Wilson, Jets rookie wide receiver. The Jets host the Dolphins, who are abysmal defensively. Brandon Cooks is going against the Jags this weekend in Jacksonville. Wilson or Cooks?
Man, I love Brandon Cooks, but I'm going to go Brandon Wilson here. I really am. But I love Brandon Cooks, and I'm so bummed that I can't play him this week.
Yeah, I've got him on all my teams, and it's been a rough year for Brandon Cooks owners. All right, let's do one or two more of these. Kirk Cousins or Joe Burrow this weekend?
Joe Burrow. I think he's getting into his groove, really recovering well from the appendectomy and getting his swagger back, not just the suits that he wears to go into the games.
Yeah, and I think normally Sunday night in Baltimore, the Bengals play in there. Normally you'd be like, okay, well, that might be a time to avoid Joe Burrow, but the Ravens have not been good defensively this year.
Agreed.
Yep. And then let's do one more. Damian Pierce, James Conner, or Khalil Herbert at RB2 this weekend?
Man, Khalil Herbert came on and then he slowed down a little bit. This is where I think I might play Damian Pierce.
Hell yeah.
In this order, I would go Damian Pierce, Khalil Herbert, and James Conner.
There you go. This is Damian Pierce country, Lisa. You know it here in Houston,
yep.
Texas. Lisa Ann, our fantasy football expert. At The Real Lisa Ann is where you can get her on Twitter. She does YouTube on Sunday before all the games and podcast galore, SiriusXM. Lisa Ann is everywhere, at The Real Lisa Ann to follow her on Twitter. Lisa, we always appreciate the advice, and enjoy the games this weekend.
Let's hope that yesterday's game was the worst game we see all weekend.
Yes. it is not a hard bar to clear for the rest of the games on this schedule.
We were spoiled really from the playoffs last year on into the first few weeks. Last night was a little bit of a palate cleanser, I think, to help you appreciate how good the previous several weeks of football had been. And now
Season kicked off with an awesome Thursday night game. Then the second Thursday night game was awesome. But you're right. Very well put there, Seth. Palate cleansing it was.
There it is. Yep, indeed. And Lisa Ann, by the way, brought to you by Cindy's, number one in fantasy and fun. Cindy's number one in fantasy and fun. Lisa, enjoy the weekend. We'll talk next week.
Thanks, guys. Enjoy the games.
Good stuff. Lisa Ann joining us on the program. Yeah. Cindy's number one in fantasy and fun. I got to make up for not saying it at the beginning of the interview. Did I mention that Cindy's is number one in fantasy and fun? Have I mentioned the Trailer Wheel and Frame text page recently?
Trailer Wheel and Frame!
There you go.
Have they cleared us to use the old jingle?
I've not asked. I've kind of kind of just been walking down the hall, like holding my hand next to my eyes, not making eye contact.
We talk about it like seven times as much because we love the jingle so much.
Yes.
So I can't, even if they hate the jingle, they got to like the attention.
The little tag, for sure, yeah. For sure. All right, let's get into it in the 9 o'clock hour. Let's circle back. Thursday Night Football last night. What did it mean? What did last night's game mean to the Houston Texans? We'll break into this, break down this Jags and Texans game a little more. It is a Football Friday on Payne and Pendergast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.